part of the Press Play Podcast Network.
Look up in the sky, it's a bird, it's a plane, it's...
This is Jason J. Lewis, the voice of Superman on Justice League Action.
This is Mark Waid, writer of Superman Birdlight.
You're listening to The Krypton Report.
Welcome to The Krypton Report, special immediate episode. I am your host, Tyler, the Superman of Blue, the man with a cold. And with me, as always, is the Superman of Red, Mr. James Cole. What's up, buddy?
Hey, what's up?
You know, living the dream in this Ohio weather.
Yeah. It's going up and down, I swear.
Like every day.
One day it was 60, and then the next day it was 20.
Yeah. No joke.
Very next people. Day.
No joke. This is why my sinuses are so messed up. But hey, we got some cool news. We got stuff to talk about. So James and I are, we have to talk about it now.
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
So let's talk about it. Let's jump into this. First thing up, try this new thing. Is we have, you guys ready for this piece of amazing news? We have officially our Perry White. Ta-da, Wendell Price. I never watched The Wire. Did you, James?
I have not.
See, I know it's on my I would love to watch this show list. But I just never got to watch it. And I looked up his filmography and stuff like last night. And I was just kind of like, you know what? I've seen a lot of stuff this guy has been in, but it's always been more of a smaller role or a background role type thing. So I'm just like, huh. But I saw people like, oh my God, he was so good on The Wire. So I'm like, okay, I trust in the casting. Been a lot of comparison to, you know, how Perry White was on My Adventures with Superman. You know,
yeah. So I've definitely seen Wendell Pierce around. I have not seen The Wire or Suits, but I have definitely seen some of his comedic work. you know, I like the guy, and you know, I don't know the way. I just prefer an actor who has that presence in The Office, you know.
The Office is a good show.
That present. Yeah. Well, in the Daily Planet office.
Yeah.
You know, that he's the editor in chief. You know, I want somebody who no matter what can stand in front of Clark Kent, even though he's, you know, Clark Kent and not the bumbling idiot from that Chris Reeve portrayed, but stand in front of Clark Kent, this guy who's 6 foot three, four, five, whatever. And he's still like, you know, get it done, Clark.
Yeah. Get her done,
Clark. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Not exactly what I want
to do. Do not want Larry the Cable Guy.
Worst Perry ever.
Perry White. That would be horrible.
Yes. Yes, it would. Oh my gosh, that would be horrible. All right. So we have our Perry White. That's been one of the ones that we have been kind of like, okay, we need Perry. Where's Perry? It's pretty important, guys.
Absolutely. Actually, scanning over the picture, when I kind of scrolled past the picture earlier, I didn't quite notice. I had my glasses off too, so I didn't quite notice. I was like, so was that guy in the table read photo they had, was that Perry White and not Otis? But it's not the same guy.
Jeez. No, that's the thing. He wasn't there for the table read, or they didn't reveal it. So interesting.
Yeah, so I was like, well, did they say he was Otis and he was actually Perry White? And then I looked again and I see that it's definitely not the same guy.
Speaking of Otis, I went back and watched I watched the Superman, the Brightburn episode. Or not episode. I went and watched the Brightburn scene that featured the guy who was cast as Otis. Just to kind of see and get a feel. I was like, ah, okay. All right.
Okay.
And just because I was like, oh, what's something quick I could see him in? And he was serviceable in that scene, so I'll try to find out some of his other work and stuff. But yeah, we have our Perry. Who else do we want from the daily, from the Metropolis, you know, like news team? Like who are you wanting?
Well, I mean, I suspect we should probably, I don't know how much of a role they need to play, but I mean, they're usually there, but like Lombard, Troop, Cat Grant, you know, and, mm-hmm. and what parts are they going to be playing? Are we still going to get Lombard in sports and, Cat in the gossip, or I don't know if you want to call it gossip, but it'd be more like the,
celebrity. I feel like the dailies,
the celebrity.
Yeah. All the stuff that sometimes people take is like trash news that we all click on.
Yeah. Yeah, that everybody clicks on. You know. The stuff that people deserve some privacy, but also like, you know, the stuff that people judge them on. like they're not people.
Yeah. So the next thing, and this is kind of interesting, the next thing is that Superman Legacy has been just retitled Superman.
See, as I saw that, and I'm still wondering if that is officially like 100%. Is it that?
I mean, that's what Gunn said.
Yeah,
because I follow Gunn on Threads, and that's what I was telling Brian. Is like, Gunn posts on Threads more than Twitter or Instagram. So I follow him on Threads and I have his alerts turned on. And sometimes it's awesome and sometimes it sucks, because when he gets on there to start talking with people, my phone blows up constantly.
Oh, jeez. So I read it and I was like, oh, that would be cool. I mean, we've been wanting a movie just called Superman for a long time. I mean, if you remember way back when I first got on here with you, our trilogy episode, it was Man of Steel, Man of Tomorrow, and Superman. Just Superman was the title of the third movie.
And it's funny because like people are like, wait, what? It's there is Superman, but yeah, but everything with the first, you know, Chris is Superman the movie.
Yeah,
Superman the movie. Like on the case, it says Superman the movie because, for some reason, the Sulkinds wanted to put the movie on everything.
It's like the confusion between like Halloween and John Carpenter's Halloween.
Yeah,
Halloween, it's 2018. If you say John Carpenter's Halloween, it's 1978.
Which I hate, just because I feel like that's something they had to retroactively go and do, because they decided to rename the movie Halloween in 2018 again.
Yeah,
instead of just being like 20, you know, some people call Halloween H40 because 40 years after.
Yeah,
you know,
H40.
Yeah,
like H20.
Yeah, you know, so
yeah, kind of, and like Scream, like when they came out with Scream and Scream 5, it's just called Scream. Some people call it Five Cream, like with a 5 at the beginning for the S. I just prefer the Roman numeral 5 inside the M as the Scream 5.
Yeah, I do too. And I just consider it Scream 5. The fact that they called it Scream, or I would have taken Scream Again, you know, or Scream More.
I mean, because then the next one called it Scream 5. They still just called it Scream.
And I'm like, no, I will not call it that. I will call it Scream 5, because the next film that follows it is Scream 6. In the film before it was Scream 4. So I will not call it.
Well, it perfectly lines up, honestly, with the, it would honestly, in that regard, it's kind of stupid in the marketing not to use the M as your IV for 4, your V for 5, and your VI for 6. Like, it's just stupid marketing not to go that route.
Yep, I agree. You know, but super, the only thing that I can say is like when years ago when we did like different pitches and stuff like that, my idea for a reboot was to be called the film Superman because we had never had a title of a film called Superman. And it wasn't going to be a straight origin film, but it was going to be kind of an origin film. My pitch was kind of in the vein of like Man of Tomorrow, the film. So calling this movie just Superman, but it not really being an origin film is interesting. I don't know. Like, I just feel like that's a strong title to start a story. And
well, hopefully with the idea of jumping right in, he is just Superman.
And that's the other thing is like he is
go in and he's Superman.
Exactly. So I'm like, okay. So we have Superman coming 2025. And it's just kind of weird because I mean, like, well, with Batman, you have Batman that's called, but we've retroactively started calling it Batman 89 for some reason. Because even though
Batman 66, it's called Batman the movie.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
You know, sometimes it gets called Batman, but I'm looking it up. Batman the movie.
Yeah, Batman the movie, and then you got Batman, Batman Returns Forever, Batman and Robin, the Batman.
Yeah, so that's why I'm like, okay.
So Superman the movie, Superman. Superman Returns, 2, 3, 4, Man of Steel.
I mean, they just did it.
So it is different names, and I do prefer different titles. I mean, like Batman Begins, The Dark Knight Rises,
Yeah, those are fine. Those exist in the trilogy.
Man of Steel. I was just saying if it's not officially the title or not, just because I've seen when people are still posting about it, they're still, and like trades when they're still posting about it, they're still posting Superman Legacy.
Well, I mean, that was the hashtag and everything that was specific to that. Now you just post Superman, it goes to like it's for whatever Superman, it's not geared toward just the film. At least it's not the Superman,
right? Yeah. Well, one of the things that has been going on since Gunn has taken over is when you say or in the marketing is when they do their marketing, they direct you towards the comics. They direct you towards the IP. Uh-huh. They have that. They've had that at the end. So if you really want to market it as the IP like that, hashtag Superman. It's going to give you everything Superman. He's like, this is our movie. Go read our comics.
I mean, it works. Now, the next thing. Drum roll, please. Drum roll. So on February 29th, James Gunn had a post, which is where they announced the title change, and he also posted a half-covered Superman costume logo, and fans went crazy. I'm gonna bring it up here. Let's bring it up here. There it is, James. There it is.
Aha! That screen sharing worked better.
So, yeah. Let's talk about how are you feeling about this?
I like it actually. I like the design, the texture. I do like the yellow around the outside. The only thing that I wish was that we could see like the full thing, because we've got kind of like the sides at the outside corners and the bottom cropped out of the photo. I just want to see the entire logo in its entirety, but I do like the yellow on the outside. The symbol is reminiscent of the Kingdom Come with like just like the big middle part going across. and it finishes up with the red around the bottom. But I do like how instead it doesn't appear that it's the S at the top. It appears like it curves down like it's the outside of the logo, but I think in a shot I've seen, it looks like it ends. So we've still got like open yellow around.
Yeah, but
that's like, part of why I want to see the whole thing, because you can't.
That's my okay. So like we have at the top, but like right here, there's still yellow poking right here, and I want to see the whole thing of how it curves, because I've heard people talk about like, oh, you know, I want it to look kind of like an S, but more of an alien symbol. Now, I got some other reference points here. Now look and pull up this. That's the My Adventures with Superman logo.
Mm-hmm.
Which is similar in a vein, okay? And then here's where Brandon Routh did the Kingdom Cubs style, which is more similar. This one...
But outlined in red.
This one for Legacy looks bigger and more curved. One thing that I'm liking is it doesn't look rubber. It looks like of the same material of the costume. And it has this like pattern that looks like a stitch.
Yeah, it does almost look like stitched fabric.
Now let's go check out here at the top, just for people to reference. This is the good old Man of Steel. And it had a very stitched chainmail type look to it. I really liked that look. I sent you the pictures in our chat so that you could pull them up.
Mm-hmm. It was supposed to look alien as well, because it was supposed to look like their type of jumpsuit kind of clothing that they wore.
And so, and then we have, you know, this one, which is the BVS one, which was more, you know, it had like more of the curvature. It was a little more overdone, I'm not gonna lie. Okay. The BVS one was more overdone, and I think actually was too much. But all of these in this more modern era, if you look at them, are very much like a rubber emblem that's on top. Except for the first season of Superman and Lois. So we'll look at a couple more. Like here, I always like this one. It's rubbery, but it has a very similar like stitch chainmail look to it from Tyler's appearance on Supergirl.
Mm-hmm.
I like that look. And then of course, you know, the way that the little diamonds and stuff, little Superman symbols were inside the Superman Returns logo, a little much. But once again, we're looking at, and this is, you know, a symbol like on top, like it's thin rubber on top of the suit compared to the previous interaction where it was a cloth or just part of the suit, you know, like I'm trying to get everything to load here. Like this one sits on top, but then sometimes during the actual show, it looked like it was just painted into the cloth, like the old versions of the suit.
Right.
But this version looks like it's part of it, but it's I don't know, like I can't, it's not like it's sitting on top.
Well, so
rubber. It's part of the costume, it looks like.
Yeah.
But yet it is still puffed out.
Yeah, it appears that it's part of the fabric, like in the top and the bottom, specifically on the top right corner, or rather his top left corner. But when you're looking at the photo, the top right corner, it looks like it's actually the symbol is like embossed inside of the fabric. Like it looks like they're separate, but almost at the same level.
There you go. Embossed. That's
you know, but it doesn't look like it's like something that's placed on top of the suit in particular, you know, like a rubber thing that pops off the chest.
Yeah.
Specifically, you know, noticeable in the Brandon Routh Superman Returns and the Kingdom Come look. And most versions, actually, rather, I mean, besides Tyler in Superman and Lois, which it looks like it's part of the fabric. But this definitely looks like it's a separate symbol, but it's really inside of the shirt, inside of the suit. I mean, yeah, I think this reveal looks really cool. You know, I like the yellow on the outside. Kind of reminiscent of some old school Superman, where it was just yellow and red. And it was like the yellow shield with the red S on the shield. With the snow on it, it's got to be like he's got to be in the fortress. So hopefully, you know, we're getting the fortress. And I'm looking forward to a full suit reveal. I think we'll get one from Gunn before we get paparazzi shots. You know what I mean?
That's what everyone was expecting on Superman's birthday. Like, they've officially started filming, because they started filming on the 29th. And we got that awesome behind-the-scenes, just fun video with Rachel Brosnahan, Nicholas Holt, and...
Yeah, on her TikTok, I think.
David Cornsway. I think it's interesting because it feels like David's been very candid about like kind of keeping himself kind of hidden in the background.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's interesting.
Oh yeah, he didn't in that video. He even still had a beanie on his head or whatever. Yeah. Like he's not even showing his hairstyle. Suit reveal, no muscle reveals, nothing.
And I mean, that's all calculus.
He's wearing baggy clothes and everything.
That's why he's hiding in the bag. So I like it. I want to see the symbol like flat out, because it does look like it has differences than the Kingdom Come. It looks like a Kingdom Come symbol in the way of George Reeves. Let me pull up a George Reeves Superman symbol real quick. And you'll understand what I'm saying. So give me just a second, dear fans, listeners, James Cole.
Yeah.
Don't.
Live searches.
Excuse me.
I love Google searches on an audio medium.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? This is we're experimenting with video here too, man. Okay. We're trying to go back to having some video.
I think it's a funny joke when all podcasts make it. Like,
see how this has a little bit more curve and is round.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. It's not as the lines aren't as hardly defined in the symbol.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like compared to like the Brandon Routh one we looked at, where they were hard lines. This is very curvature. Then look at this one, and it looks. Like there's some curve in there.
Yeah. Actually, yeah, not straight. Actually, it makes me kind of wonder if there isn't some kind of, fat bat inspiration here. You know, you got the big bat symbol across the chest. We got a big Superman symbol across the chest with some of that outward curvature of it.
We talked about how the Superman symbol had kind of, like, especially with Superman Returns, shrunk. Like, even the Superman and Lois one, it's kind of a little bit small. I think the biggest one we ever saw was Dean Cain's. Like, the way it went across his chest.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to pull him up real quick. You'd think I'd have all these pictures, like, easily on hand. But, you know, I'm not that crazy that I just keep, you know, a crap ton of Superman pictures everywhere.
No, they're just all over the wall.
Yeah, they're all over the wall. I mean, if you zoom in to my room, you will see.
You will see Dean over here on this photo. And
there's one. You can see how like it's a little bit larger across his chest and stuff. And this is a season one.
That's almost way all the way out. That's almost way out to the shoulders and down just below the diaphragm.
And then you look at everything after that. It's very, very small. But we're feeling confident about this season. I wish they'd release a different photo in the sense of like size ratio, because so many people I've seen have tried to put this as their wallpaper. Like, it's the wallpaper on the back of my computer, but it's just so oddly shaped that it just can't get the whole photo. Parts of it gets cut off. It's sad. But all right.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit more.
It's not a landscape photo.
Let's talk a little bit more news. So I found this in one report, and I have, it says via Variety, but I haven't seen other media outlets go with this. And you know my feelings. I'm not a big person who's big on pop songs being in my comic book superhero movies, because I feel like it dates the films. But, you know, we report the news. We report it. So we have...
Subjective objections aside.
So there it is, people. There it is.
Dua Lipa will be doing a song for Superman Legacy.
I'm just like...
Okay. So is this going to be like a... are they going to start doing like James Bond opening songs? Like they did for Deadpool 2 with Celine Dion?
I mean... maybe?
You know what? I'd be okay with that as long as it's not the standard.
I just don't want to fly through space yet.
Right.
Yeah, you know, I mean, like, if we
do, must see Krypton explode again, we must fly through space again, we must hear John Williams again. Like,
yeah, I mean, like
how much must we repeat again so that way you satisfy these old gatekeeping fogies?
I want them to recreate the George Reeves TV intro.
Yeah.
That
would be pretty sweet.
I think it would be awesome to just kind of screw around and like for marketing and just like viral marketing, recreate iconic Superman things with Corn Sweat. Like recreate the opening of the George Reeves Adventures of Superman with David and just have that as like a viral marketing thing. Yeah. Recreate
Like the Fleischers, like,
yeah, you know what I'm saying? With
faster than a speeding bullet,
it's the same thing, you know,
more powerful than a locomotive.
You know, we have argued going back to the title change that there is a reason why Legacy was probably chosen for that initial change, for that initial, you know, script or whatever. And I'm going to be curious to see how that develops, because I feel like that terminology has to have something to do with what the story is in there somewhere. So we'll see. But I'm excited.
Right. I mean, or is it just because they're going to be borrowing so many bits from the 85 years of Superman Legacy?
They should. And, you know, I hope one thing, we've done pitches on this series and stuff before, and I hope that one thing that comes across is I would love to see previous Superman actors just appear as small roles or background roles or whatever in the film.
Just like Bruce Campbell being pizza whatever guy pizza in Papa. Doctor Strange. Pizza Papa, that's what I thought it was.
You know, just like
in Multiverse of Madness, you know, you just got like,
or the best one.
He's the guy. Yeah, you got Dean Cain selling us hot dogs, Clark and Lois hot dogs on a cart, and people just freak out because he's there for 5 seconds giving them hot dogs.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Like the best being Jimmy Olsen in Superman Returns, giving Jimmy Olsen and Clark beer, you know, as the bartender. Yeah. Like that was a great cameo, small part.
Getting coffee from Lois in Zack Snyder's Justice League.
Yeah, I mean, I just need, like, it'd be cool. Like, I always thought it'd be neat to have, like, a scene with the police or something, and one of the police officers is, like, Brandon Routh and Dean Cain as police officers. You know what I'm saying? Like, in a scene.
That'd be awesome, them being in the same squad car together. You know, one side Dean Cain, one side Brandon Routh, and be like, oh, my God.
or Brandon and Tom, you know what I'm saying? Like, just kind of this hint to, like, cameos of people who had played the character before, you know?
Yeah.
I would be surprised. I'm interested to see if we get any casting for Jor-El, if we're going to have the Fortress, and we haven't got any kind of casting on the Kents. And, you know, part of me, I don't need it. I would like to just be surprised going in, you know? But we hope to see a suit reveal type photo soon.
He goes home to Smallville to visit the family, and he walks in and sees Ma, and then all of a sudden Jonathan comes walking in from the other room, not even knowing that Jonathan's alive, because he doesn't have to die of a heart attack.
No, he doesn't.
For Superman to learn he can't save everyone.
That was a Superman Returns or Superman the movie thing, because in, as we've talked about in the Kirk Allen serials and in the George Reeves TV series, they were both dead.
Yeah.
You know,
that was part of it. They were old. They were elderly when they found him. They had never had kids, and they were just elderly when they had found him.
And then, you know, now it's like they shift the Kents a little bit. Like, oh, they're like in their mid to late 30s when they get him. So they're a little older, maybe 40 when they get him. You know, so they're a little older, but they're not like old. Like, they're not in their 70s, you know, finding this child. They've kind of like made that adjustment. Thank you, Smallville. Let's get into
Justice League and
action.
John Schneider.
We're going to talk some more Justice League action, the great cartoon that sadly just feels like it gets forgotten. We got a couple of episodes to go through. We got Time Out, where Batman teams up with Booster Gold when an alien creature starts literally eating up time. This is another example of an episode where no one really likes and respects Booster, and everyone just thinks he's a joke. And then he does something that proves he is a hero, but then nobody gets to remember. You know, so
really what goes along with that, the greatest hero you've never heard of.
Exactly. It's just another take of that.
Yeah. Saving time, but you can't know that time travel is a thing, that you can't change time. People have to stop, you know?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Cause
there's a great part where Booster and Batman bond, and Batman at the beginning is ripping him up, saying you're the worst hero and everything. And then Batman has the realization. He's like, I'm sorry, like, Booster, you are. And Booster gets like a picture of Batman and him. And then he basically tells Batman, like, when to fix this, I'm going to send you back, but you'll have no memory of any of this. And Batman's like, I won't remember that you, he's like, no. And I did this. So it was, then, you know, he goes back to the moment that Batman's riffing him, and you see a scene of Booster like, oh, you're right, Batman.
Yeah. It's really cool. It's really personal and things like that when you get like the approval of Batman in that way, because I mean, you know, he does have his own methods, and they're methods that work for him because he's normal, because he's a person, he's human. Whereas all these people he fights alongside of have powers and abilities, and, you know, abilities to transport through time, all kinds of stuff. But for somebody like Booster Gold to get that approval of him and then have to erase it so that Batman doesn't remember, but Booster is like, you know, he has to take the beating, the verbal abuse, but inside he knows, like, he really does know, or he would know. Like, I've gotten Batman's approval. You know what I mean? Like, I'm really a hero, and in Batman's eyes, I'm a hero.
Yeah. So that was a great episode. It was fun. It's always
interesting. That would be a tough thing to live with, you know, not getting any of that credit. like that, you know what I mean? And have to be put down in that respect. Literally being a hero that nobody's heard of. Nobody knows the things that you do.
So, all right. All right. Let's keep it rolling here. Like, you know, the Limp Bizkit song that everyone hates to put quotes off in. Supernatural Adventures in Babysitting. Stargirl has to enlist Constantine's help when Clarion the Witch Boy takes place of the boy she's supposed to be babysitting. This one's fun because Stargirl is back and then once again brings Batman in. And she calls Batman and
who ends up calling Constantine.
Yep.
Ends up calling Constantine to help with Clarion the Witch Boy. One thing about this show that's really cool is like the mentorship angle. You've got these older heroes, these main staple heroes, especially your Trinity, who are there, who are mentoring, who are helping the younger generation, like Stargirl, like Firestorm, like Blue Beetle, learn and become better heroes.
Yep.
I love how they keep calling Constantine a hobo in this episode. Oh, it called talking about his hobo magic.
I just like when like she turned, he's like, I don't really help with this. And then he turns and he sees Clarion and he's like, I'll be there.
Right.
And he takes off. So yeah,
it's funny. It was funny at the end too. Like the kid's like, and she had a man over. A man, like the parents are like, she brought a man into this house while we were gone.
And he's like
the thing Batman. That you would kill a babysitter for. And not Batman. Like, oh, okay. Like, yeah, sure, Batman was here.
And Courtney's like, whew. So it was cool. All right. Let's see here. Mixie's mix-up. While the Justice League attempts to protect the United Nations from Gorilla Grodd's army, Mr. Mixus Pedelec pops up from the fifth dimension and thinks it would be great fun to put each of the superheroes' brains in another's body. I mean, that's just classic, right? He puts Superman in Batman's body, right? Yeah. I had to think for a second. He
tries to fly and he falls face first.
And he punches and he's like, ah, in his hand. And Courtney's in Superman's body. And Batman's in Courtney's body, of course, because that makes the most sense. It makes it the most awkward.
Yeah. Kevin Conroy talking out of a young teenage girl's body. Yeah.
And Mixie's like, I should have done this a long time ago.
And we got Gilbert Godfrey back as Mixie. From the Superman the Animated Series. So, like it's perfect. You know, he's a fantastic animated Mixie.
It is great. He's the, you know, very much is the bowler hat Mixus Pedelec that we've seen so often in comics and stuff.
Yeah, bowler hat in the old school design. Because even in the animated series, he had a little suit.
And then at the end, other heroes start popping up and they trick Mixie to say his name.
Yeah. Firestorm, the professor actually gets to be the hero this time. Which is different, you know, cause he's part of the hero of Firestorm. You know, he's always trying to help Firestorm. He's part of the brains behind the whole thing, helping him with his transmutation powers, different things like that. But in this way, he gets to kind of like talk a bunch of science jargon to Mixie and, you know, kind of gives him all these like phobia names and gives him a phobia name that is his name spelled backwards or said backwards, because when you look at it, it's not spelled backwards, but when he says it, it's how it is said backwards. And he's like, oh, I said it, and poofs right out of our dimension, out of their dimension.
That's how it's done. So very, very enjoyable episode. And then, I think that's all we got, right?
I think that might be all you watched, because we're kind of going, our orders are different.
Yeah, because I went by the, I posted in our, for our notes, I posted the order that was listed on IMDb. But then when we went to watch them, James and I both noticed, James has his on Amazon, I have mine on Apple. The order is different. So it's kind of been this weird thing as we've gone through these. So
it's which like other different one different on all three? It's like different on all three sites, you know? Like it, so
it's a been a pain, and we've discovered that in the future we will make sure that this is not
something. Yeah, we try and figure out which episodes are kind of like right there, so we're not bouncing around too much.
Did you do which one you did?
Let's see. I would say that I watched Booster's Gold, but I got pulled away on that.
Yes,
one.
That was
but
the one.
I did watch Blu-ray for Bizarro.
Okay, so I'll talk.
Which I don't think you got to.
I did Booster's Gold, which is where this is like funny to pair with the other one, because this is where Booster Gold basically tries a scheme of creating, going in time, getting dying. He watched the first 10 minutes, he said, of Jurassic Park, which is hilarious because nothing he references is in the first 10 minutes of Jurassic Park. and he creates Dinosaur Island, where Green Arrow goes and basically is like, Booster, this is horrible. And it just shows like this is like the Booster we all think of. And it's just the cash grab Booster. And hijinks happen with, you know, being chased by T-Rexes and Pterodons and Booster and you know, it was fun, because I realized watching this how much I still really love Green Arrow and how Green Arrow really hasn't got a great representation. Like, Amel is good, Hartley's good, but there's an amazing Green Arrow somewhere in between the two of those.
And I mean, yeah, they're both just too much Batman, you know?
And the Justice League action and the Justice League Unlimited versions are, and even I think if I had to pick a best character, the Tomorrowverse Green Arrow is really good.
Yeah.
Compare, you know, to all the characters. So that's the Green Arrow I want to see.
So, yeah, I did get to watch some of this episode. I did like how he did say Jurassic Park. And it's funny, he talks about Jurassic Park, but the things that they do and the things that they show are things from other Jurassic Park movies.
Yeah. Me and Solomon watched this one together because of the dinosaurs. I was like, watch this with me, buddy. So it was fun. And I mean, these are short little, you know, 11-minute episodes, but you can just knock out. They're great like for a break or whatever, like fun stuff. All right. And you said you did boo. Yeah. I can't talk. My throat's getting dry.
Yeah. It was
Blu-ray for Bizarro.
Yeah.
When the diabolical Amazo attacks the League and begins stealing their powers one by one, the klutzy, backwards thinking Bizarro becomes our hero's last hope to turn things around. All right, what you got, James? You know how I feel about Bizarro.
So, well, yeah, well, it's Amazo, you know. So they're fighting Amazo, and I mean, Amazo can literally do anything in this. It was funny because like a lot of versions of Amazo, we know the way that he speaks is very android like. But part of what we saw in the Crisis movie, you know, he had a little more of a human-esque side. But in Justice League action, he's very almost very human. But he takes everybody's abilities, you know. He he even generates a power ring, so he has Green Lantern abilities. Wonder Woman is kind of out on a date with Bizarro, having food and everything, kind of trying to keep him distracted, you know, not doing what he's trying to keep him more in line with Superman, you know. So she goes off to help, but they, you know, everybody gets captured, and she shows up to try and help save the day, and Wonder Woman gets captured, but Bizarro is the one who comes in, kind of saves the day. You know, he brings in he brings Space Cabbie with him. but Bizarro saves the day, and you know, Batman can't stand him. So in a way to get him to leave, he tries to convince him to stay. So Bizarro ends up taking off, and he's like, problem solved.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. I'm just trying to remember the voice of Amazo in this episode, because like I said, when we actually watched these last time we recorded a week ago.
Yeah.
So, some and details.
Then life happened.
Yeah. But they electrocute Amazo. Kind of shut him down.
Amazo is so interesting, but like, I don't know, I'm kind of getting tired of Amazo.
It's I mean, they do a lot with Amazo. They use like Bizarro as his opposition to Superman to kind of like confuse Amazo's abilities or whatever.
I mean, which is cool, don't get me wrong, but I don't know, after a while, like, you know, you read enough comics, after a while you start realizing it's just the same characters over and over. Like, and that's why it's so refreshing when we get new, really good villains or adversaries of our heroes. Because we're like, oh, right. Yeah.
Somebody gets a really new, interesting story take.
Yeah. We're like, finally. So. But. All right, man. I think that's all.
Yep, that's it. That's all we've watched this week.
Yeah, I'm like, I think we did it.
Good job.
I think we did it.
Woo! Yeah, it's fun. Justice League Action is a really good show. If you're not watching it, you should be, you know. Definitely should be checking out these episodes. A lot of them are really funny. A lot of them are really creative. They have some interesting interesting uses of characters, good and bad, characterizations, Easter eggs.
Yeah.
And like I said, you know, you've got like your core, especially your Trinity, kind of like being your top dogs, and then like helping everybody else, especially the younger generation.
It is a highly refreshing show. So, yeah. The tone is amazing,
and it's not as ridiculous, because it's got the same format as Teen Titans Go, but yeah. It's not as ridiculous as Teen Titans Go. Teen Titans Go does all kinds of stuff, like just eating and cracking jokes and
cracking wise, man, cracking wise.
Yeah, just all kinds of some ridiculous little bits that, you know, you'd see on SpongeBob or something. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's still a good show, but you know, Justice League Action is a little bit more highbrow than Teen Titans Go.
It's fun. It's can be serious, but also with a wink of humor and charm. So, and look, my beautiful wife brought me some tea.
Do you recognize that?
That's so James can remember how to spell his name and his alphabet. He forgets sometimes.
Yeah. I need Will Byers to light up the letters for me.
Will, how do I say my name? He's like, it's James. How do you spell that? He's like, James. Yeah. Spell it for me, buddy.
It's like, what's the number for 911?
Wait. What's the number for III? No, was it XIXII?
Yeah.
All right, that's from us. Yeah. Check us out here in the links at the bottom for our link tree. On the outro, you'll see it are right here. We'll just throw this up real quick here. Scan that code, and you can find all of our social media, all of our links to all of our websites and everything. We appreciate anyone just participating in feedback. So please let us know. Or if you're listening audio wise, just check the links down below. And this is Tyler and James from the Krypton Report saying, remember.
Look up in the sky.
We just want to say, if you've enjoyed this podcast, please check out other podcasts on the Press Play Podcast Network.
If you are like Tyler and James and can't get enough Super Talk, check out these other podcasts. Digging for Kryptonite, Supergirl Radio, The Last Sons of Krypton, The Superboy Legacy Podcast, All-Star Superfans, Superman the Animated Podcast, The Aspiring Kryptonians, Always Hold On to Smallville, The Geek of Steel, and Truth, Justice, and Hope.
Remember to check out Krypton Report on all social media platforms. Go to linktree.com/KryptonReport. Find all of our information.
What's up, everybody? Chase Smith here from the Chase Smith Podcast and Cavs on the Break NBA Podcast.
And I'm JD, host of the Hyman Podcast, part of the Press Play Podcast Network. And we are super excited to bring you a brand new show starting next Tuesday, the Fanfare Podcast.
The Fanfare Podcast is all about your favorite movies and our favorite movies and the best moments in cinema. To help guide our discussion, each episode will feature one classic, and we will grade this movie using a report card like scale A through F. We're going to be grading categories like acting, directing, cinematography, the score, and even the movie poster itself.
And when we're not featuring a movie report card, we'll be sharing our movie rankings, franchise deep dives, actor and director interviews, and everything in between. Movies have been a major part of our lives, and we cannot wait to share our thoughts with you.
Our premiere episode will drop Tuesday, June 27th, and JD and I will be reviewing Raiders of the Lost Ark in preparation of the release of Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny on June 30th, the fifth installment of the franchise.
Join us on the Fanfare Podcast, available on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to your podcast.
Hello, Brooks here with the Books with Brooks monthly book club podcast. Here's how Books with Brooks works. We read one book a month, and then we talk about it. Classics like Stephen King's The Shining, debut novels like We Are the Brennans by Tracy Lang, and tons of other compelling, life-changing stories, one book and one month at a time. So come read along with us, and then listen in.
Here at Krypton Report, we believe in the power of podcasting, the power of speaking your voice and speaking something that comes from you. So here's a couple of podcasts you can check out with people sharing their voice.
I am Brian Peters, the creator and host of Gravely Amusing. For the past 30 years, I've studied the history of gods and monsters in pop culture and our world. As a student of theology and history, I've tried to understand evil and its impact on us. As a writer, I've tried to share this knowledge. As a comedian, I've tried to make people laugh as I do it. But as a man-child, I'm still that scared 7-year-old boy. Join me as I share the history of horror and sci-fi, discuss classic and modern pop culture, and share a creepy story or two. This podcast may scare you, it may horrify you, or it may leave you gravely amused. Listen to Gravely Amusing on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and wherever podcasts are found. Follow us on Twitter at @gravely_amusing or on TikTok at @gravelyamusing.
Hi, I'm Taria Maynard, and this is my co-host, Jania Patrick. We're a couple of sisters in Central Ohio who created a podcast. Our podcast is called The Confessing Heretics.
The basic premise of the podcast right now, as we see it, is we're going to talk to you guys about our stories in religion, would you say?
Mm-hmm. This podcast is about sharing our truths, our religious traumas, and our histories. We'd love for you to join us on our journeys as we talk about our pasts and discover more about ourselves along the way. We will be featured on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. Just look for The Confessing Heretics.
We have a $1 Patreon. Yes, I know everyone asks for money, but our $1 Patreon each month gets you commentary tracks for recent movies, DC movies. It gets you my requel series where I pitch ideas about movie sequels, prequels, or whatever. It also gets special bonus episodes of whatever else some of the friends of the network chime in and drop. So check that out for $1 a month. That's all we ask. Keep it cheap, keep it simple, and help us keep going. Check out the link in the show notes or Patreon Krypton Report.
Follow the link in the link tree or in the show notes below, patreon.com/KryptonReport.
This is Dan Jurgens, and if you want to have a good time, keep listening to the Krypton Report.